I want to talk about the big news out of Arizona. A new general manager. Now, the headline's easy to jump on. He's only 26 years old, but to me, it's the structure of their hockey operations department that I'm intrigued by. What do you make of the hiring of John Chyka today?
Well, it's an outside-the-box hiring, that's for sure, and it's one that's gotten the Coyotes a lot of attention. I'm here in Washington covering the series and was just watching ESPN, and they were debating it on Around the Horn or Pardon the Interruption or one of those programs. And man, that's got to be the first time the Coyotes have ever been discussed on that kind of platform. So, you know, I'm not as against it as some. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism out there, I'll tell you. And you know, even from some in the analytics community themselves who don't know a lot about John Chyka, the new GM of the Coyotes. But, you know, I do think that this is the wave is a real thing, that there is some advantages to be gained. And, you know, we're going to have to learn a little bit more about him before, you know, I have grave concerns about the direction of this franchise.
It's, to me, I'm wondering a little bit about Dave Tippett's role in all of this. He gets the five-year extension, and he's going to, you know, have some say, obviously, a kind of an adjusted portfolio. Is it more like Patrick Waugh, what we see in Colorado, or is it a little bit of a throwback to, you know, I think the last time Daryl Sutter's the last full-time head coach general manager in the NHL, but if it wasn't him, it was Pat Quinn. I'm wondering if it's kind of a harken back to that in his role now.
Well, given how little experience the GM has in this case, I see it more as almost like a split role for Tip, but I think he'll be very, very involved in what's going on there. And you know, he does, you know, he's been around the block a few times in National Hockey League and knows, you know, how things have to work, you know, in this league. So, I think we have to almost wait to see how it shakes out here. They're going to hire another assistant, they say, and presumably someone with a bit more experience than John Chyka has, you know, working for an NHL team and you know, find a way to make it work together. But, you know, I will say in general, NHL front offices have moved far more to collaborative structures than in the past. It's not, in too many situations, it's not just one guy making decisions. There's a lot of voices in the room and consensus has to be part of that process.
How involved do you think or are you perceiving ownership in this? Because I believe the new president of hockey operations is also one of the part owners of the team, isn't he?
He is, yes. And that, you know, that's unusual. Let's face it. I mean, the Coyotes have always done things a little differently. Some of it's been by necessity, and you know, this is where people I think are raising their eyebrows that an owner is essentially in charge of hockey operations. The coach is probably technically above the GM with his vice president's title, and then the GM is 26 years old and, you know, only has 1 year of assistant GM on his resume in the NHL. And I think that's where the eyebrows are being raised and where people are wondering how that structure is going to work. But, you know, I'm approaching it with a bit more of an open mind because, you know, sometimes titles, I think, can be a bit overrated. And, you know, as long as these guys can find a way to work in some level of harmony and you know, that doesn't devolve into a power struggle, but then, you know, I still think it can work.
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe you and I in a previous season had a conversation one time when you came on with us and just talking about how hockey operations departments are evolving. That, you know, it was only a couple of years ago that the presidents of hockey operations seemed to be the new fad, kind of pushing the structure up, moving from the general manager. I'm like you. I'm going to take a wait and see. I just think this is another evolution of how teams organize their staff.
Well, you know, I'm based in Toronto, and there's a lot of concern expressed, especially in the local market. How possibly can Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock and Brendan Shanahan, all these sort of big ego, powerful guys, work together? And, you know, from what I've seen there, it's a bit of a non-traditional setup. I mean, anytime a coach has an 8-year deal, for example, and, you know, the first year of that, you know, to my eyes, and as I say, I'm quite close to that organization, has gone well. And I do think that there has been an evolution here, and GMs in a lot of cases have lost the degree of power from where they, you know, really used to be the arbiters of everything that happened with their teams. And, you know, the reality for John Chyka is he's getting that title, but, you know, he's not a full GM in the traditional sense of the word. And he does have bosses and a couple of them to answer to and to work with. And, you know, as I say, I don't have as much concern too, because he's been there for a year. And then, you know, obviously to make the move to get rid of Don Maloney, there's a comfort level between Dave Tippett built in and with ownership and John Chyka. So, you know, it's just not out of the realm of possibility that it works, because at the end of the day, I mean, analytics, we could debate up and down, but, you know, it's the teams that are on a budget that have to look for, you know, small ways to gain an advantage or to get an edge, that should, you know, I think in my mind, be most aggressively using these sorts of things. And obviously the Coyotes fall into that pile, and they've got a young organization with lots of pretty good prospects. And, you know, I think it makes sense for them to kind of go all in on this initiative and see if they can be a bit of a money ball team sort of in you know, in the NHL.
I'll say this, and the last comment on this, and we'll move on, I promise, but Buffalo will be interesting. Who answers the phone when it rings at the table? If somebody wants to move up or move down, who answers that phone at the table will be kind of telltale of where this is going.
Well, and especially depending on who that other assistant that they end up hiring is. I mean, if it's someone who's worked in the league for 20 years and has the relationships with other GMs or AGMs, I mean, I would imagine that person, you know, is spearheading some of the trade discussions or you know, negotiations on those sorts of things. So you're right. It's going to be very telling. I think it's going to be an interesting draft on a lot of fronts. But, you know, I'm kind of excited just to see how this works out, frankly. I mean, we haven't seen this in hockey, anything quite like it. In baseball, there's been a lot of young executives. I believe Theo Epstein was 28 when he was first hired by the Boston Red Sox, and he's had a lot of success. But this is kind of a new wave in hockey, and I know from talking to some analytics folks, they're really hoping it works out because they're hoping it'll open up some doors for them in other markets.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our guest, joins us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before we get to the playoffs, anything you're hearing out in Washington, around there, and out east about the opening with the Calgary Flames?
I'll say it's been surprisingly quiet, at least as far as I can discern. That you know, all indications that this is still going to be a longer road. You know, I don't think that they're going in, at least as much as I've been able to tell, and trying to get some of the bigger names that are interviewing elsewhere. So. Right now, I don't have anything too concrete, but just been asking around a bit, and it doesn't seem like there's too many talks formally happening just yet.
Chris, just one last one before we go to the playoffs, and that is Jaromir Jagr re-signs one-year deal with Florida. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody, and the length is right. He led them in scoring. Nice to have Jaromir Jagr coming back for at least one more year.
Well, and the value that he brings, I mean, to have 66 points this year and 27 goals, I mean, I think reasonably I would be stunned if he matched those totals next year, even with the same opportunities. He had some good shooting luck in Florida. But he brings a value to that organization. I mean, they did very well at the box office this year from where they were in the past. They were selling tickets. But clearly he's a marketable guy in a place that's still trying to sell hockey and still trying to gain more of a foothold in their market. And, you know, he gets some national attention. He just happens to be good. He's doing something historically, you know, virtually unparalleled. But you're right. No surprise he's back. The funny part of that contract, though, is that, you know, it's $4 million in base salary and $1.5 million extra. He'll get in bonuses if he plays at least 45 games. But then there's a strange $15,000 he can earn for performance bonuses. And he gets $5,000 if he wins the Art Ross, $5,000 if he wins the Hart, and $5,000 if he wins the Stanley Cup. So at age 45, I guess he's still believes that he maybe can win one of those major awards and earn an extra $5,000 at the end of a career where he's made, about $150 million or so.
Well, the awards are one thing, but you win the Stanley Cup and you get $5,000 bonus. At least you'll get the player's share. Somehow, I think he'll be okay. I mean, he'll be okay, but the bonus structure is interesting.
I just think it's amusing that even got negotiated in there. I mean, what would that conversation be like?
Well, but you know what it is? It's the Van Halen rider clause or something, right? Like, it can only have brown M&Ms or something. They just wanted to make sure the agent was paying attention.
Yeah, well, I found that amusing. Jagr always finds a way to make you laugh when you're dealing with him. And he snuck another one in with his contract.
Your column up today at sportsnet.ca, are the Capitals still what we thought they were? Down 3-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins, very easily could be tied, might even make a case they could be leading in this series, but they are not. And I know that every visit for the last week or so, I have brought up the name Matt Murray, but I have to go back there. He has been nothing short of stunning in this series.
Yeah, and really, as a pro hockey player the last 2 years, but this is getting to special territory. I mean, we have to kind of wait and see how this plays out. But, you know, I'm at the point personally where if he even, you know, stumbles and has a so-so game, I still wouldn't put Marc-Andre Fleury back in the net, you know, for the following game afterwards. I mean, I think he's earned a bit of leash here with his play. And you know, really, you know, there's just very little to pick apart with him. I mean, he's He's on the biggest stage. He made his first playoff start at Madison Square Garden. He's now up against the Capitals, who, you know, obviously have a lot of offensive weapons, and there's going to be moments in the games where they're getting dangerous chances, and, you know, he looks like he's been there before, even though, you know, basically he hasn't.
As far as the rest of this series goes out, last night, I mean, we talked about how nasty a series it's been. There, that continued. Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin got into it last night. Do you care to opine on that? I mean, Crosby, anytime something happens, we all watch him, and the great camera shot of him getting frustrated. Clearly not happy about getting slashed, but probably more upset about maybe possibly being hurt, right?
Yeah, he said afterwards, actually, that he was just concerned that he was done for the season, that he thought maybe there was some kind of break in his hand or, you know, something more serious. And after getting some treatment from the trainers, he was able to feel better. So I think the reaction really was due. He wasn't trying to draw a penalty in that moment or anything like that. I really believe he thought something bad had happened there. And fortunately for him, it didn't. And, you know, really, it sort of continued the storyline in my eyes. I mean, Alex Ovechkin's won some individual awards over Sidney Crosby, but, you know, Sidney's had the run of play in the major events, and, you know, it looks like as a team that Pittsburgh's well poised now to knock Washington out again. And my goodness, that'll be quite a blow for the Capitals. A lot of long faces in their dressing room last night after that loss.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. I mean, game day's tomorrow, or it's not today anyway, and I know you're there. Is there any sense of the foreboding that's there? Because that was really one of the undertones all year long, wasn't it, around the Capitals? We've seen this before. You know, prove it to us in the playoffs, not unlike the St. Louis Blues in the first round against Chicago.
Exactly. And then, you know, if they lose this year, if they lose game five, just for hypothetical, it's not, you know, I wouldn't say that they're done, but my goodness, they're going to have a lot of serious questions. I mean, and until we see the core group of those players, you know, deliver some big moments and some big victories, I mean, you're going to have doubt, natural doubt, that they can do it. And, you know, this series, you know, hasn't really been their best. I feel like some of the decisions that you know, have been made by Barry Trotz haven't always worked out. We haven't seen them, other than Game 3, where they dominated and lost. They've probably been outplayed in three of the four games by Pittsburgh. And you know, there's a strange feeling, I guess, hanging over things. And, you know, I've been around these series enough to know that, you know, if Washington comes and delivers an emphatic victory in Game 5, it'll look quite a bit different if you go back to Pittsburgh. And, you know, they're not dead yet, but it certainly doesn't look good after a season where they had 120 points and, you know, really have built the best team of the Ovechkin era.
Last one for you, Chris, and it's another topic just kind of following up from Tuesday. We talked prior to that St. Louis-Dallas game about the need for somebody to stand up and take the goaltending reins in Dallas, and that didn't happen. That was as bad a goaltending performance as we've seen here in the postseason. Your thoughts on where Lindy Ruff and the Stars go to prepare for this one? Did they get and I'll guess I give you a little bit of ammunition here. Did they get possibly a little bit of help from Ryan Reeves blowing a kiss? I mean, is that where you rally this team around heading into Game 4?
Well, you got to start somewhere. I mean, I'm wondering who their number three goalie is and if he's going to be getting a call, you know, the way things are going at this point. But the Ryan Reeves stuff, I mean, it's funny. The side shows, I felt like, used to be a bit more part of the playoff series. And you know, by and large, we don't see it too much anymore. But Jamie Benn was sort of quipping on that Reeves blown kiss. And you know, it could be, you know, something that helps out. I mean, look, they lost 6-1 as well in the last game, so, you know, that there won't be feeling very good about it. But, you know, goaltending is still the story, you know, in the big picture, I believe, for the Stars. And Kari Lehtinen, to me, has the better top end of Antti Niemi, but he can have some more precipitous down periods as well, you know, than his countrymen. And you know, there's a lot on his shoulders tonight to at least keep them in the series, but to allow them to get back to even if you can just give them somewhat capable goaltending, you know, with the players they have offensively, they should be okay. But I think Lindy Ruff is pulling his hair out, and I can imagine the conversation, you know, no matter when the season ends, is going to be about trying to get a clear number one next year and not having this sort of rotational system.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. Enjoy your time in Washington. We will hook up with you next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks, man.